Hello everyone, welcome to JTalk Extra Time. John Steele here. It's kind of a special episode this week. For the first section, I'm going to talk about J2, specifically the promotion race and some of the mid-table games that have a bit less riding on them at the moment. And then, for the second part, Gifu Richie Palmer joined me to give us his thoughts on the relegation battle at the bottom of the second tier, where things are getting very exciting with four games to go. And then, as usual, after my chat with Richie, you'll hear Magic Mike Innes. He's in JTalk Short Corner with all the latest J3 news. So, without further ado, let's talk about J2. It was round 38 last weekend, and leaders Iwata now just need a single point to clinch promotion. This is after they beat Kyoto 1-0 in the battle of the top two at Yamaha Stadium. Iwata definitely had the better of the first half chances. Lukian headed over from close range in the second minute, and then later was denied by a brilliant sliding tackle from Sota Kawasaki. In the second period, there were chances at both ends, but it looked like the game was going to finish 0-0 until 13 minutes from full time, when Yuto Suzuki sent a low cross into the Kyoto penalty area. Yordi Bice cleared the ball, but it ricocheted off Shota Kaneko and up into the air, and then Hiroki Yamada was able to head it in from about 6 yards. So it finished Iwata 1, Kyoto 0. Kyoto will also be promoted if they can pick up 6 points from their last four matches. So yes, Iwata 1, Kyoto 0, the final score. Third place Nagasaki played the role of party poopers for Iwata last weekend, preventing Jubilo from sealing promotion. That's because they beat 10-man Tokyo Verde 3-0 at Ajinomoto Stadium in front of a pretty good crowd, over 6,000 in the capital for this one. The game was 0-0 until the 54th minute, when Verdi midfielder Rihito Yamamoto was shown a second yellow card after he tangled with Yuya Kuwasaki on the halfway line. To be honest, it was a very clumsy tackle and a red card was pretty inevitable. Verdi held on, though, until the 76th minute, when Nagasaki broke the deadlock through Ken Tokura, heading in an inch-perfect cross from Seiya Maikuma. Tokura was then the provider. In the 90th minute, he slipped away from Masashi Wakasa out on the Nagasaki left, advanced to the edge of the penalty area, and then set up Takumi Nagura to score the second goal from about 16 yards. And then it was 3-0 right at the end of second half stoppage time. Kaio Cesar led a counter-attack, spotted Shunya Yoneda making an overlapping run from the right-back position, and played him in to confidently beat Verdi keeper Matthias from a tight angle on the edge of the 6-yard box. So Tokyo Verde 0, Nagasaki 3 at full time. Nagasaki 7 points behind second place Kyoto, as mentioned, with 4 games to go. Montedio Yamagata slipped down to 6th place after losing 1-0 away at still in form Okayama. There was no Satoki Uejo in the Okayama squad, but Hideki Ishige scored their winner on the stroke of half-time. Ishige played in Eiji Shirai on the right-hand side of the penalty area, and then when Shirai crossed into the 6-yard box, Ishige arrived right on cue to slam in from close range. Yamagata did their best to respond, and I think their best chance for an equaliser fell to Masamichi Hayashi in stoppage time at the end of the game, but he just couldn't direct Riku Handa's cross onto the target, so it finished Okayama 1, Yamagata 0. Okayama 9 games unbeaten, very impressive stuff from them, finishing the season strongly, as we've mentioned on a few pods recently. And just finally, before I hand you over to my conversation with Richie, Jeff Chiba blew a 2-goal lead at home to Mito in a very entertaining game that ended 2-2. Chiba were 1-0 up at half-time thanks to Tomoyamiki's 39th minute goal. He headed in a cross from Takaki Fukumitsu at the far post. And it was 2-0 10 minutes into the second half as Solomon Sakuragawa headed Michihiro Yasuda's cross into the roof of the net from 6 yards. The real turning point in this game came in the 73rd minute as Miki missed a golden chance to make it 3-0 to Chiba. He robbed Mito centre-back Jefferson Tabinas about 45 yards from goal, advanced into the penalty area, but then shot straight at visiting goalie Ayumi Niikawa, and the chance was wasted. Moments later, Mito pulled a goal back. Masato Nakayama with a flying header in off the post from Toa Yamane's deep cross. And then Mito pulled level in the 5th minute of second half stoppage time. A corner caused havoc in the Chiba penalty area. They just couldn't clear the ball, and eventually it was half cleared to Ryo Nisato, and he sent a very well struck cushioned half volley past Shota Arai in the Jeff goal, and it finished 2-2. So that leaves Chiba and Mito comfortably in mid-table in the standings, Chiba 9th and Mito 10th. All right, I think that's all for the promotion race and mid-table. So, please stay tuned. After a short pause, you'll hear my conversation with Richie about the relegation battle in J2. Welcome back, everyone. And it's time for the main event, really, for this week's pod. I'm joined now by Richie Palmer, Gifu Richie. Richie, how are you doing?
Good, thanks, mate. Bright and chirpy up at this time of the night.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. Yes, and I promise we'll finish earlier than we did last time, Richie. We don't need to let the listeners know what time that was, but let's just say it was a bit late for both of us, wasn't it?
Adults only, that one, I think.
Okay. Yeah, very much so, yeah. So, Richie, when it comes to the J2 relegation zone, there's really only one man, who can come in and make sense of it for us, and that's you. So, without further ado, let's talk about the picture in the relegation zone at the moment. The bottom two sides, Matsumoto and Kitakyushu, they're both on 32 points, aren't they, at the moment. Matsumoto ended their five-game losing streak by drawing 1-1 at home to Niigata at the weekend. A cracking start for Matsumoto in just the fifth minute. Itsuki Enomoto blocked a clearance from the Niigata midfielder Akito Fukuta, and then the ball ran to their captain Kazuhiro Sato, who sent a beautiful rising drive past Koto Abe and into the net for 1-0. But it was 1-1 8 minutes into the second half that Matsumoto keeper Kentaro Kakoi saved Yoshiaki Takagi's free kick, but then Kaito Taniguchi clipped the loose ball across the goal line for Yuya Takazawa to volley in his second goal of the season. And there was a great save from Koto Abe in the Niigata goal. He denied Matsumoto a late winner when he managed to palm away a curling effort from Junichi Paolo Tanaka. I think Stuart Smith will be angry if we don't mention that this save was actually with Abe's sort of wrong hand. You know, he led with his right hand and he should have gone with his left. But yes, it looked like a good save to me as a casual viewer. So yeah, that game finished Matsumoto 1, Niigata 1. Kitakyushu, meanwhile, lost 1-0 at home to Kofu thanks to a superb goal in the 53rd minute from Motoki Hasegawa. He received a pass from Junma Miyazaki with his back to the goal on the edge of the box, and then he produced a kind of ballet turn to nip between two defenders with a single touch and then dink the ball expertly over Yuya Tanaka. Absolutely fantastic goal from Hasegawa. Things could have been worse for Kitakyushu as well. They conceded a penalty later on when Mitsunari Musaka rashly slid in on Yoshiki Torikai inside the box. But the goalkeeper Tanaka saved Gakuto Notsuda's penalty and kept Kitakyushu in the game until the end. But unfortunately, it finished 1-0. So, Matsumoto ended their losing streak, Richie, by getting a point. Kitakyushu lost at home to Kofu. I can't see either of these two making it out of the relegation zone now, Richie, but did you see anything in these games, or do you have any thoughts that might change my mind?
Well, I just started with the Kitakyushu game. I thought, what was that? Kitakyushu, four shots, Kofu 19. I think Kitakyushu are down. They're going to go down, and that's the only team I'm confident in saying so. Like, they just don't, they're not offering anything, do they? They don't have any X factor this year up front. There's just nothing. After they went down a goal, they put Maeda and Toriyama up front and use them as target men. But Noguchi put in some nice crosses and Kono looked pretty good. But they just couldn't break through the wall of Kofu. And yeah, I just don't think they've got it in them. You know, they've got the third worst attack, I think, fourth worst defense, and even in that great stadium in an important game like that, there was only 2,300 people in the stadium. And, I think even the fans have kind of given up in a way. You know, it just doesn't look good for them. It doesn't look good. Even the body language of the players, it didn't look good. So I'm pretty confident that I don't think they're going to make it. They have a big game this weekend, which we'll get onto later, but probably their last chance. On the other hand, Matsumoto, even though it was a draw, it was a pretty good game for their standards. Like, they held on pretty well once they took the lead for quite a while until they went behind. And But even after that, they really played like they wanted, didn't they? They really put in some chances. But, you know, they just didn't. I don't think they had the know-how of how to actually get through that win. But at the same time, they had a good crowd behind them. And they really showed a bit of passion in that. You know, they were really going for it. They were really trying. And while I think they, it's going to be tough for them to get out now, I think, because also of the goal differential, which is the worst, right, minus 33. So I think they're going to be, they're going to really struggle. But they do have, you know, a good crowd behind them. And this, I think their game this weekend, which again we'll get onto later, I think that will determine how they'll go, if they have any chance of getting out or not, should I say. But at the same time, Nanami, as the manager, doesn't really inspire me with much confidence, because I don't think he's really played too well wherever he's been, or played, should I say, coached too well. So I'm not sure, but I think if anything, they could only get through just by passion and guts and that, not by skill, by no means. That's all I can think of them.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was the best performance that Matsumoto have had for a good long while, wasn't it, on Sunday? But then again, that's kind of not saying much either.
Well, and we should also say, could be, sorry, that Niigata haven't really been on form for the second half of the season either, have they? So it's not really a big, and they didn't have anything to play for. But even when they scored, they were pretty chuffed about it too, weren't they? So they knew it was a big game for them as well. So Niigata did try, so it was a challenge by both teams. But I think, yeah, both teams are just haven't really known how to score those goals this season, have they?
Yeah, I think Kita Kyushu, I agree. I think, you know, you kind of laid the stats out pretty well there. You know, very, very anemic sort of forward line and dodgy at the back. They have lost a lot of points when they've been in winning positions, haven't they, as well? I think they've just done that a little bit too often to kind of have any real chance of getting out of it. For Matsumoto, if they play like they did in that game at the weekend against Niigata, that they'll give themselves a puncher's chance, I suppose. But yeah, I tend to feel like, we'll wait and see. But I think if they do survive, it's going to be absolutely by the skin of their teeth, isn't it? I think. Yeah.
For sure.
Fair enough. Yeah, still plenty to... I was going to say look forward to, but I guess that depends which team you're supporting. There's still plenty of football to be played. Should we put it that way? That's probably a good way.
For a neutral fan, and all of us love a relegation dogfight, there's plenty to look forward to, I think you could say.
Okay, so we've got, we're saying Kita Kyushu are probably gone, and then Matsumoto are kind of on the brink, but still have a chance. Richie, the other teams in the relegation zone are 2 points better off, aren't they, on 34? That's Ehime and Sagamihara. Now, third bottom, Ehime, they drew 0-0 at home to Machida at the weekend. Not too much to report on here in terms of the match itself, although we should mention Ehime's goalie Masahiro Okamoto was probably the man of the match. He made some really good saves. The thing that I noticed was that there was no Yoshiki Fujimoto in the Ehime squad for this game, so presumably he's picked up an injury. Obviously, he scored 10 goals this season, has been the kind of talisman. If he's going to be out for any significant length of time, then that could really, really throw a spanner in the works for Ehime, couldn't it? And then Sagamihara, fourth bottom at the moment, they came from behind to pick up a point away at Gunma in a 1-1 draw. The first half was goalless, but then Gunma went in front in the 47th minute. Shoyi Yoshinaga, who'd come on as a sub at half-time, sent a dangerous cross into the box, and a fine glancing header from Shota Aoki gave Gunma the lead. But Sagamihara equalised 12 minutes from full-time. Somehow, Tsubasa Ando, not the biggest player on the pitch, he was completely unmarked around the penalty spot, and he was able to head home Ryosuke Tada's right-wing cross for the equaliser. Both sides went for the win in a pretty absorbing game, and yes, Keiki Shimizu, the Gunma keeper, had to make a good save from a powerful Ando shot late on, and the game finished 1-1. Gunma move up to 16th, Richie, and stay 4 points clear of the relegation zone. We should also mention at this point, just dipping into J3, and don't worry, Richie, this is going to be very brief, but it looks like Miyazaki might hold on to a top two spot in the third tier, one of the promotion places this season. Now, if that does happen, they'll stay in J3. They don't have a J2 license to come up to the second division. So that would mean a reprieve for whoever finishes fourth bottom in J2, right? Only the bottom three sides would go down and fourth bottom would stay. At the moment, that's Sagamihana, and they're 7 goals better off than Ehime on goal difference. So something to keep in mind. I think both Sagamihara and Ehime fans are probably supporting Miyazaki as well, at least for the next 4 weeks. What did you make of these games and the kind of survival hopes for these sides? Ehime nil, Machida nil, and Gunma 1, Sagamihara 1.
All right, well, starting with Sagamihara Gunma, I'm pretty surprised you didn't mention Shimizu's goalkeeper Shimizu's nice beanie that he was wearing. Did you see that on his head?
Has he got stitches or some kind of head injury? Because he's wearing that. He's been wearing that for weeks, and I just I thought if I ignored it, it would go away. But it's just, you know, that hasn't worked, and he keeps bringing it out.
Well, it is, you know, 7 p.m. Sunday game at Gunma. Probably pretty cold too, I must imagine, for a keeper.
Well, what are the rules? Are you allowed to just wear a beanie? I know you can wear a baseball cap, and there's at least one goalkeeper we'll talk about later who should have been wearing a baseball cap at the weekend. But I don't know. I have to get. We need a Gunma correspondent to get on this.
We do. Or Giffy Stewart, of course, would know. Would know, wouldn't he? He would know, the goalkeeper extraordinaire. No, I'm not too sure myself, but yeah, it was pretty fashionable. This game, Gunma Sagamihara, was a great game. It was pretty frantic. For a neutral viewer, I was not expecting anything. I was expecting a dirty game, but it was quite a good game, actually, and one of the better games of the whole round, I think. Gunma attacked up the flank real well with Tanaka and Kato, and probably deservedly got that goal at the start. They look real good with the ball sometimes, unusually good. But when Sagamihara brought their players on, you know, their substitutions on, Mumibucha and Kodama, etc., they didn't react to it very well. And then, of course, Sagamihara scored the goal. I'm just looking at, I think both these teams definitely need another win or two. Even Gunma, even though they are 4 points above the Sagamihara, they still need at least another win or two to be safe. I think they could easily get caught into that fourth and final position. I think Sagamihara, looking at the draw, they've got a big game against Ehime in 2 weeks' time, which I think may seal whether they finish fourth or less. But I think, you know, they've got the worst attack in the league still, and I don't think they're going to make it up. I think they're going to fight bravely, but they're just going to miss out by a point or two is what I'm guessing, unless they get their magic fourth spot and Miyazaki get up. But like Matsumoto in the last game, you know, they both really played for it. And if you can do that and a result comes your way, you know, maybe in the next game, for example, the confidence comes up, you know, there's still a chance for them. And I think, yeah, I think they both got chances. Going on to their other game, who were we? Ehime Machida 0-0. How could I forget that one? Ehime, three shots a goal. There you go. Machida, you know, they really battered them. They held them down, and Machida this year just haven't been able to score as much as they should have. But I think Ehime defended pretty well with Kuriyama. I think it was pretty good. I was wondering, like you, what happened to Fujimoto. I was actually online today trying to figure out where he was, if he was injured or anything. I couldn't find anything. You know, I agree with you. If he's there, you know, he's the ninth best scorer at the moment. So, you know, there's a good chance they can do something. I'm more confident of Ehime doing anything than Sagamihara, Kitakyushu, or Matsumoto, I'd say, out of those four. I'm more confident of them getting out.
Yeah. I feel the same about Ehime, but for me, it's become like a kind of gut feeling, or like I'm like a cult follower of Ehime. They don't seem to be actually moving in the right direction in the league table. Although I feel like you, they could still get out of it. I wonder. That's quite ominous that there's no actual information about Yoshiki Fujimoto being injured. That kind of leads me to believe possibly it is a bad injury. And maybe they're trying to keep it under wraps for as long as they can. But in the J League, you never know, right? The injury news is very sporadic. It depends on the club, how they release that news. So, hopefully for Ehime's sake, he's back. he's back soon. And I think for Sagamihara, yeah, like you said, they have developed this kind of swashbuckling style, and they improved 100% in an attacking sense from earlier in the season, from the first half of the season. But it might just not be enough. I think they're still at the point where they're creating way more chances than they were before, but not converting. So that could be critical. And we had a little bit of a chat off air before we started recording, didn't we? And we can't say for sure that Miyazaki are going to finish second in J3. It would be a very bad idea to rely on that, I think. If you're one of these teams down at the bottom, you've got to be trying to get out of the relegation zone completely, rather than holding on to the fourth bottom spot and crossing your fingers. So we'll have to wait and see.
No, just quickly with Sagamihara, they've got, just looking at the final four games, Okayama this week, which is going to be tough because Okayama's on quite good form at the moment. But then they've got Ehime and Matsumoto. Like, that's, two relegation six-pointers. Whether they're there or not, who knows? But, and then finally finishing off with Verdi, which you never know what Verdi's going to do. But Okayama's going to be tough, but the other three are all, they could win them all. But it's going to be very interesting, I think.
Yeah, I think Verdi are playing Kanazawa as well, aren't they, in the next round? So they could be like not the king makers, but the relegation dodging makers, maybe, if they roll over for some of these teams. So yeah, again, it's so funny that we've sort of been counting down the weeks, and now we're already at round 38 and we're still in this situation of having so many permutations of what could happen. Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you, though. I think Ehime, if they have Fujimoto, will scrap right until the end, and they have the experience of being in this position before. I think Sagamihara have shown also that they will fight and they will scrap, but I don't know if they'll get enough goals that way to lift them up the table. So and I think Gunma, yeah, they need another win or two maybe, but I think I've seen enough that they are. I don't think they're one of the four worst teams. I mean, they might still end up in the bottom four, obviously, if things go south in the next four rounds. But I think they will probably feel like they're on the way to just grinding out safety. I think, yeah. But we'll wait and see. So just to recap, Richie, our relegation zone. It's Matsumoto and Kitakyushu at the bottom on 32 points. And just above them, Ehime and Sagamihara on 34. Looking over their shoulders quite nervously still are Kanazawa and Omiya in 18th and 17th in the table, respectively. Now, they're both on 37 points at the moment, three clear of the drop zone, but they both lost 2-1 in the round of games on Sunday. Kanazawa went down away at Ryukyu, thanks to a goal each from the Kazama brothers. In the 20th minute, Ryukyu went in front when Keigo Numata crossed for Koya Kazama to volley in off the post. And then Kanazawa levelled via a Shion Niwa penalty about 12 minutes later. I think that's Niwa's ninth goal of the season, which is okay in a struggling team, I think. For me, though, this was a really harsh penalty, Richie, because the Ryukyu defender Takashi Kanai, he was sliding to block a shot from Sho Hiramatsu, and then his arm was on the ground because he was in mid-slide tackle, and the ball hit that arm, and a penalty was given. I'm not sure what he was supposed to do with his arm to avoid that when the ball was drilled at him from close range. But anyway, penalty was given and scored. Now, the winner came 10 minutes into the second half for Ryukyu. Kanazawa, interestingly, they picked Yuto Shirai in goal for this game for the first time in a couple of months, and Masaki Goto was dropped to the bench. Now, Shirai's poor goal kick returned possession to Ryukyu on the halfway line, and then eventually the ball was worked to Koya Kazama, who teed up his brother Koki to slam an unstoppable rising drive into Shirai's top corner. He managed to get some hands on it, but couldn't keep it out, and it went into the back of the net for 2-1. It was nearly 2-2 midway through the half when Hayato Otani smacked a rocket of a shot against the Ryukyu crossbar, but Kanazawa's luck had run out at that point, and it finished Ryukyu 2, Kanazawa 1. Ryukyu move up into 8th. For Kanazawa, this was a first defeat in four games for them, so I'm not sure how disappointed they will be. They might expect to lose once every four games, I suppose. And the other match, before I come back to you, Richie, Omiya went in front at home to Yamaguchi, but ended up losing this game 2-1, as mentioned. The Squirrels got the perfect start in just the fourth minute, with Atsushi Kurakawa volleying in a left-wing cross from Kanji Okuniki at the far post. The lead only lasted 6 minutes, though. Yamaguchi equalised when Wataru Tanaka fired in a shot from the edge of the box that took a big deflection off Kazuaki Mawatari to wrong-foot the Omiya goalie Yuta Minami, and it was 1-1. Surely that was an own goal. I think Tanaka's done extremely well to claim that, because it took such a big deflection. It changed the flight of the ball completely. After that, Omiya found Yamaguchi's keeper Kentaro Seki in superb form. He made a smart block with his legs to keep out Okuniki towards the end of the first half, after Okuniki had been set up by a lovely backheel from Masahito Ono. And then the sucker punch that we've kind of come to expect in Omiya home games recently came 5 minutes from time. Kazuma Takai scored directly from a 20-yard free kick that went straight through the Omiya wall, much to the frustration of goalkeeper Minami, who ended up unfortunately looking a bit silly because the ball entered the goal pretty much in the middle. In the middle of the goal, didn't it? In the middle of the goal line. So that was 2-1. And Takai scoring direct from a free kick for the second game in a row. So yeah, he's certainly got his shooting boots on at the moment. Omiya rallied. Seki had to make a superb fingertip save from an absolute pile driver from Ono. He brilliantly pushed the ball onto the crossbar. And then he had to get down low to keep out a late header from Masayuki Yamada. But it finished Omiya 1, Yamaguchi 2. Back-to-back wins for Yamaguchi now, who are 5 games unbeaten, and they're lifted up to 14th in the table, 7 points clear of the relegation zone with 4 rounds to play, so not mathematically safe, but it's looking good for Yamaguchi at the moment. Richie, help us to make sense of this situation. Ryukyu 2, Kanazawa 1, and then Omiya 1, Yamaguchi 2.
Ryukyu, Good result for them. Good to see them winning again. Great to see the Kazuma brothers scoring. I think Kanazawa played pretty well in this game, actually. Probably could have snatched a draw if they're a bit luckier, but at the same time, you know, can't take anything away from Ryukyu. I'm a bit worried about Kanazawa, just with the games they've got left. I think the main team that is at the most risk of dropping into that bottom four is Kanazawa. We've seen them, you know, get pegged back so many times or lose in the death so many times this year, especially in the second half of the season. I'm a bit worried about them, how they're going. And you know, they got Verdi, Torchi, Yamagata, Kyoto. It's kind of mid top table teams, depending where their heads will be at the time, kind of thing. I'm a bit worried about them. Omiya Yamaguchi, that was a pretty good game. I think for Yamaguchi, it's really important that Tanaka scored that goal pretty much straight after Omiya scored that goal. Really took the wind out of their sails. But at the same time, Yamaguchi were lucky with both their goals, weren't they? Well, not, you know, they earned them, but they were a bit fortunate. I think Omiya played pretty good. They played pretty positive in the second half as well. Outshot them 17 shots to 8. I mean, Omiya fans won't want to hear that. They want victories. But I still think Omiya are... I don't think they're at risk, really. I think it's going to be... I think they've got enough. They've shown in the last 3 weeks, even though they've lost against Iwata and Kyoto and Yamaguchi this week, they've shown me enough that they're going to get through. I'm not... You know, it could all come down to the final round where they play Guma. Oh, there we go. But I'm pretty confident they are right. Yamaguchi, I think, as you said, pretty safe. But, just a but, they are playing Kita Kyushu, Matsumoto, and Ehime in three of their last 4 games. So that's all against the bottom three. So they could be good or bad. You know, probably expect them to win one. And they're also playing Corfu in it. So that just depends if Corfu is still in that hunt. Probably not. It's the second to last game, but... I think they'll be fine. But, you know, this could really make or break it for other teams. As you were saying about Verdi, you know, Yamaguchi, Kita Kyushu next week, then Matsumoto, and then Ehime final round. So, yeah, they could play a big part.
Yeah, I kind of share your feelings on Yamaguchi. I tend to think, my gut feeling says they will be okay, but I don't think they're going to finish 14th. I think they'll slip down the table at least a couple of places, to be honest, by round 42 by the end. But I think 7 points clear with four games to go, that should be enough. It should be enough to just about get them safe, shouldn't it? They've got enough of a cushion in it. Yes, as you mentioned, if they have luck like they did against Tomiya as well with the goals, then they'll be fine. For Kanazawa, yeah, I mean, I want to make sure James Taylor keeps listening till the end, so we don't want to get too hard on them. But I think, yeah, you're kind of at the point. To be honest, we could have mentioned this about some of the other games as well. You know, you get teams are putting in reasonable performances and getting results that we would be okay in isolation. I think, for example, Ehime, you know, a goalless draw at home to Machida would be a good result ordinarily, or Sagamihara drawing away at Gunma, thinking, you know, they'd see that as a good result in isolation. But down at the bottom, we're at the point where you kind of need three, right? You kind of need to get the results are more important than the performances right now. So, yeah, I think for Omiya and Kanazawa, they played pretty well at the weekend and got no points. And I wonder if that will... The coach has to make sure both clubs that you know, that translates to the players as, please keep doing what you're doing, rather than, you know, don't get downcast about the fact that you've had a good performance and not got your reward. So, yeah, I think Omiya, I also think, like Yamaguchi, you're going to just about be okay. And Kanazawa, I think they enough good players in the team for them to be okay. But I'm with you. I'm going to have to sit on the fence with you, Richie, I think, on that one for another week or two at least. Because, yeah, they do have a habit of letting in. I don't think we could call the second goal a soft goal in the Ryukyu game. It was an absolute pile driver, but they did give the ball away. Yeah. They did give the ball away cheaply to create the chance. The first goal, I thought, was a bit soft. It was a bit too easy for Kazuma to get that volley in kind of on the penalty spot. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But
well, John, let me just ask you something. Sorry, pardon. If you think, say, Kanazawa, Omiya, or Gunma, say one of these teams drop into the bottom four, you know, with could be possibly next round or the next round after, say with two games to go, do you think mentally, which of those teams do you think would be mentally worse off?
Well, adding mentally as the descriptor makes it really interesting, because I think Omiya might be mentally the worst off in that
exactly
case.
What I'm thinking,
yeah, too. Because I think they're proven bottlers is a bit too harsh, but I'm just struggling to think of a more kind description. But no, I don't think they would deal very well with that at all. However, arguing against myself, I think Omiya, in terms of squad talent, would also be best placed to then go out and win two games in a row and get out of it. So it's really interesting. I think, it's very finely balanced. But yes, I think that would set a lot of nerves jangling at Omiya if that was the case. And I would... this is something I've said a lot of many times. Apologies to the listeners. I must sound like I'm copying and pasting, but... yeah, there's nothing wrong with the quality of the squad, but yeah, would you back them to go, you know, to kind of roll their sleeves up and get the job done in a pinch? I don't know. I'm still, that game, were they 3-0 up against Gunma last season and ended up drawing 3-3? Was it Ehime? They were 3-0 up at home to Ehime and ended up drawing 3-3 last year. There's one or two of those games that just always creep into my mind whenever it's like, oh, can Omiya handle this? Can Omiya handle that? And I'm always like, I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah. Okay. So we kind of agree on that. That's interesting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. I kind of hope it happens now just for kind of, just for sort of neutral purposes, but I would get a lot of angry emails from my Omiya supporting friends, I think. So yeah, we better hope.
True.
Yeah, and there's poor old James as well, you know, with Kanazawa. I hope it all works out. That sounds a bit fatuous, doesn't it? And empty, but you know what I mean. I hope everybody's happy. Hope everybody's happy at the end of the season.
Exactly.
Yeah, all right, Richie, one person that's definitely going to be happy at the moment, Cock-a-Hoop, no doubt, is it Martin Spivey? That's because his Blaublitz, Akita, are now mathematically safe. A fantastic achievement for them in their debut J2 season. Now, at the weekend, Akita drew 1-1 at home to Tochigi. So on Tochigi, they're 2 points behind Yamaguchi. So Yamaguchi in 14th, Tochigi in 15th. And this is after, yes, this 1-1 draw away at Akita. Akita, very dominant in the first half of this game. Keita Saito, Hayate Take, and Ryota Nakamura causing plenty of problems for Tochigi's defence. And Akita went in front in the 14th minute when Nakamura scored with an excellent looping header from Yuko Takase's corner. Akita might have made it 2-0 at the start of the second half when Tomofumi Fujiyama had a free header at the back post, but he placed his effort off target and Tochigi had a lucky escape. And yeah, I think Fujiyama was probably ruining that miss shortly afterwards because Tochigi equalised in the 55th minute. Toshiki Mori hooked across into Akita's penalty area. And the goalkeeper, Yudai Tanaka, he came out to punch the ball, but he ended up just punching it down, kind of onto the penalty spot. I wonder if he lost the ball, lost the flight of the ball in the sun, because you know, it was a sunny day. And yes, he was the he could have done with Keiki Shimizu's shower cap, couldn't he, to help him maybe. But anyway, a goal mouth scramble ensued. An Akita defender brilliantly blocked a shot on the goal line, but yes, who else but Yohei Toyoda was lurking inside the 6-yard box. He pounced and fired the loose ball into the roof of the net for 1-1. At the final whistle, Richie, the commentator called this a battle of two hard-working teams, and I've struggled to come up with a better description. I don't know if you have anything you could add.
No, that sounds about perfect for me. We should say, Martin, again, congratulations. I mean, I don't think he was too chuffed that Akita got pegged back again. You know, they had, it's been the story of the season, and they had their chances once they went ahead. As you said, they didn't take them, and Tochigi came back. But first season in J2, probably a lot of people expecting Akita to go down, so to stay up, wow. Beautiful, like great work, really good work on a limited budget, limited squad. Geographically far away that they can't, you know, cost more to go traveling around the country. Yeah, good job for them. Tochigi, well, you know, Tochigi played a tight game. They defended well once they got the goal. Toyota's big for them. I think they've done just enough to stay up. They're unlucky that next week they're playing Nagasaki, so Nagasaki will still be in the hunt for promotion. So they'll be, I think that'll be a tough game. But you know, after that, the Kanazawa, Akita Kyushu. So again, you know, some relegation battles there. But I think they should have enough just to come out on top of those ones. I think probably, yeah, just done enough. And their goal difference minus 12 is still pretty reasonable. I think they'll be safe, but yeah, congratulations to Akita.
Yeah, congratulations to Akita. And who'd have thought it, that the key for Tochigi is playing Kishio Yano wide on the right. He's the right winger, wasn't he, in the starting lineup for this game. I'm not sure how much pace he offers in that role, but there's a system that obviously works, at least to some extent. And yeah, I guess that's not to be sneezed at in J2, especially when you're desperate for points near the bottom. Yeah, on Akita, I think a lot of the conversations we had pre-season were about how well they would do compared to Sagamihara, and I think the general consensus was Akita were better placed to do well in J2, and I think, I can't remember, I'm pretty sure I tipped them to survive, but what I had in mind was Sagamihara finishing bottom and Akita maybe finishing fifth bottom. So for Akita to be on course to finish very, very comfortably in mid-table, and I think they're 13 points clear now of the bottom four. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty stellar achievement considering, considering that, yeah, you mentioned all these points already, but budget, resources, etc. So yeah, well done to all involved. And I tend to agree with you on Tochigi, Richie. I think they will just be okay. I think Gunma will just about be okay. I think the line of mathematical safety, it is drawn at Akita at the moment, but I think Yamaguchi, Gunma, and Tochigi will all be okay. But I think anybody below that should be taking the next four matches incredibly seriously, you know, because there's, yeah, those any points you can pick up out of the remaining 12 are going to be seismic, aren't they? I think. Yeah. All right, Richie. Thanks for the roundup, Richie. It's much appreciated. Yeah, and sorry to deprive you of talking about some of the other games from round 38. But I've selfishly squirreled those away for myself this week, just to make things a bit easier for me in terms of work life balance. You know, one of the modern buzzwords that we have to contend with. So, before I let you go, can I pick your brains about the round 39 slate coming up this weekend? So,
sure.
Yeah, we have four games coming up on Saturday, November the 13th. So that there's a few big ones here. I think second bottom Kitakyushu. Surely they're going to be targeting 3 points as they go to 14th place Yamaguchi. Third bottom Ehime also have a pretty tough looking assignment. They go to 7th place Niigata, and 15th place Tochigi will surely have their work cut out as well. They go to 3rd place Nagasaki. The other game on the slate is Ryukyu hosting Jeff Chiba on Saturday. What do you think about these Saturday games, Richie? Kitakyushu, Ehime, Tochigi, tough away games for all three.
I think we're down to the part of the season now, right? I think, you know, there's quite a few teams with not that much to play for, and I think there's only really three games spread out over this weekend that have both teams have something really to play for, and the biggest two are, first one would be on Saturday, Yamaguchi Kitakyushu, of course, right? You know, that's, if Yamaguchi win that, well, they're all about safe, aren't they? But Kitakyushu, if they manage to get something, well, that'd be huge, wouldn't it? I can't see it. I just looked at the records, and Yamaguchi has, and then between these two teams, Yamaguchi has 1-3, drawn 1, and lost 1 against Kitakyushu. So they seem to have a good record, albeit just a few games. But I think Kitakyushu will struggle, but it's probably their last chance. You know, if they win this, there's still a chance, I think. If they lose, or even a draw, it's probably game, season over, I think. And of course, Nagasaki Tochigi just on the Saturday. Just because Nagasaki will still be playing for that, for promotion, Tochigi is still fighting for survival. But I think at the end of the day, Nagasaki will probably be too much for Tochigi. So it'll be a good game, but I think Nagasaki will be too much. Other games, of course, Niigata, Ehime. That could go either way. Niigata, what are they? You know, they're not playing for anything now. Ryukyu Chiba, that's just mid-table, isn't it, for the Saturday games? So.
I've got this vision of Ehime winning 1-0 with an 86-minute Fujimoto goal. I don't know why. So if anyone who does betting on football, you should probably place on the complete opposite, because I'm usually wrong. But
Ehime does have a winning record over Niigata, I will just say that.
Do? All right. Okay. Yeah. Orange Derby vibes.
We need more Orange Derbies.
Yeah, we'll see. Ehime are one of these teams where I know that they should go to Niigata and lose 3-0, but...
Well, John, we've been watching J2 for how many years now? Too many years, right? So we know him escape every year, pretty much.
Yeah, that's my point. Like, the funny thing is, even if they won that game, it just wouldn't be a... I mean, obviously, it would be a surprise in the dictionary definition, but it wouldn't surprise me. I'd be like, huh, there you go. That's what they do when there are three games left. But, yeah, okay, we've jinxed them now, Richie. So how about the games...
Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, how about the games on Sunday? November the 14th, bottom side Matsumoto have it pretty tough, don't they? They go to 4th place Kofu, 4th bottom Sagamihara, as you mentioned earlier, they're hosting their Okayama, who are 11th but bang in form, so it's going to be a tricky game. 18th place Kanazawa, they have to be looking at their home game against the Tokyo Verdy as being very winnable, I think. 17th place Omiya, I think their assignment looks pretty tough as well, away at Yamagata, who are 6th. And a similar situation for Gunma. They're in 16th at the moment. They go to 5th place Machida. And we'll just mention very quickly, leaders Iwata, they will clinch promotion for sure if they avoid defeat from their game away at Mito. Whereas 2nd place Kyoto, they will move to the very, very, very brink of promotion if they beat Akita at home. Of course, if Nagasaki have done anything wrong on Saturday, their game against Tochigi, then, you know, if Nagasaki lose, then I think that pretty much that will promote Iwata and pretty much Kyoto as well. But assuming that Nagasaki have won, that's the situation. Maths is my weak point, Richie, so I try and skate over these things as quickly as I can. What do you think about the Sunday games, Richie?
Well, your math sounds about right to me. Of course, the Iwata game, Kyoto game will be big if they're still in the fight. Well, Kyoto will be, you know. But the biggest game by far, Corfu versus Matsumoto. Corfu going for promotion, Matsumoto fighting for survival again. I'm saying that again. But interesting, the record between these teams, here's another one. Corfu, 1 win, 3 draws, 6 losses to Matsumoto. How about that? I think, and with Matsumoto being so close to Corfu too, it's close. It's very close for them. They'll have a big crowd. There'll be a big crowd. This should be a really good game. It could go either way. Corfu have nerves. I mean, they have to win to stay in. Matsumoto have to win. That's going to be a great game, I think. I think, of course, Corfu has a stronger side. Of course. But, you know, we're at the end of the season and the time when skill doesn't necessarily mean anything. You know, it will be tough. The other games, yeah, as you say, it's all pretty much Yamagata Omiya. Yamagata's got nothing to play for. What are they going to do? Are they going to turn up? Are they going to show some youth, you know, players, some give them some time, you know? Sagamihara, Okuyama. I think Okuyama's just going to keep fighting. They seem to be in the groove at the moment. Mito Iwata, Machida Gunma. You know, what's Machida going to do? The season's over for them. You know, what Kanazawa Verdy, season's over for them. It all comes down to what these teams are, you know. Do they really want to win? Are they just happy with where they are? Are they looking forward to the break? Are they going to play more? It's very hard to predict a lot of these things, isn't it?
Yeah, well, for people like me who are in the, you know, the prediction league on the transfer market website, it's agonizing because, they, like you said, there's so many unknown motivational factors for the mid-table teams right now. So yeah, but one thing we can say for sure, Richie, is that there's going to be at least one or two results that we're not expecting, right? There's going to be one or two surprise yeah, results definitely along the way. So yeah, I hope you keep tweeting about it at Gifu Richie on Twitter, so we can share the joy and the chaos together over the last month or so of the season. But yeah, Richie, I think we can probably wrap things up there if you don't have any other comments or goalkeeper hairstyle chat to bring up. I saw that Junichi Paolo Tanaka has got green hair at the moment.
I think that's just because he still loves playing, you know, Gifu. He's thinking back to his Gifu days. So he actually missed that goal for Gifu. It's like
Is that what it is? Okay. Well, now I know it's time to end the podcast. But yeah, thanks.
Hey, wait, we've got 30 minutes more on Kiefer. Come on, man.
Yeah. Oh no. Sorry, the battery on the MacBook's dying, Richie. I'm sorry. No, Richie. In all seriousness, thanks again for coming on, man. It's much appreciated. And yeah, I know the listeners really enjoy the insight that you bring with you. So yeah, thanks again. And hopefully we can talk again soon. Maybe before the end of the season, but if not, maybe during the winter break, and catch up on how everything shook down. But yeah, I think that's all for me and Richie for now. So thank you for listening and downloading the pod. We really appreciate that, of course, especially for our patrons. But stay tuned after a short musical interlude. Magic Mike Innes is going to be along. He's got the J3 news in J Talk Short Corner. So stay tuned for that. That's all from me and Richie. Here comes Mike. Bye for now.
J-Talk Extra Time. Hello everyone and welcome to J-Talk Short Corner, the mini pod that keeps you up to date with events in J3 of the J-League. I'm your host Mike Innes and in this episode I'll be looking back on the weekend games in round 26 and previewing fixtures coming up in round 27 of the J3 season. A couple of items of news before we get into things this week. Kamatamari Sanuki say their coach Zdravko Zemunovic will stand down at the end of the season. The Serbian was appointed in the middle of April after a traumatic start to 2021 saw Nobuyuki Uenoyama quit after only 2 games. Zemunovic moved to Kamatamari from a high school coaching position and in the period up to the summer break did achieve improved results, including away wins at Kagoshima United and YSCC Yokohama. But the second half of the season has seen Seneki take only 7 points from 11 games, a better defensive record outweighed by an almost complete inability to find the net. And overall, the fact is, Zemunovic hasn't been able to take the team out of the bottom three all year. Meanwhile, in 2022, the J-League in general and J3 in particular will have at least one brand new member club in the shape of Iwaki FC, guaranteed a top four finish in this year's JFL following last Wednesday's 3-1 win over Tokyo Musashino United. The club were members of the Fukushima Prefectural League as recently as 2017, but have risen rapidly through the pyramid system to achieve promotion in only their second JFL season to the J-League. But that's for next year, and right now the focus of attention is the climax of the current J3 campaign. All 7 of the round 26 fixtures were played on Sunday the 7th of November. The big match of the round, the 6-pointer between Iwate Gurugia Morioka and Roasso Kumamoto, ended in a goalless draw. Kumamoto had more possession, but it was Iwate who created the clearer chances, Yuki Shikama putting a header just wide shortly before half-time, and another header by Yusuke Muta, bringing a smart save from Yuya Sato midway through the second period. It's a result that leaves Roasso top on goal difference, 4 points better off than third place Gurugia, but it's Yutaka Akita's side who are on better form with just 4 games to go. With both their closest rivals dropping points, Tegevajaro Miyazaki boosted their hopes of a top two finish as first half goals from Ryuya Ohata and Ryo Watanabe gave them a comfortable 2-0 victory at Sanuki. Central defender Ohata buried a header from a corner in the 19th minute. 6 minutes later, Watanabe clipped home a neat angled finish after Kamatamari had fluffed, playing the ball out from the back. Homekeeper Takuya Takahashi pulled off a string of saves to prevent any further score, and as one might expect these days, his teammates offered almost no attacking threat. A confident stroll to a first win in 3 for Miyazaki. Kaito Umeda might not have scored, but he has at last ditched the perm for a haircut that, whisper it, would help him to look at home in a less provincial J2 squad next year. While for Sanuki, whatever their style plus or minus points, it's now no goals scored in their last 7 matches. Arguably the biggest result of the round turned out to be FC Gifu's late win over a Katare Toyama whose form is fading at just the wrong time. The home side almost went in front as early as the 7th minute when Shunpei Fukahori hit the post with Toyama keeper Yohei Nishibe scrambling across his goal, and there was another near miss for Fukahori on 55 minutes as he headed a Toma Murata cross just wide. The match was heading for a 0-0 draw until 5 minutes from time when Gifu attacked down the left, substitute pairing Shohei Aihara and Yuta Togashi combining to set up Shota Kawanishi, whose cutback was met first time by veteran Tetsuya Funatsu firing in from 10 yards. A stoppage time counter-attack sealed the deal for Gifu, Aihara sending a low shot inside the far post on receipt of a well-weighted pass by Togashi. Final score, Gifu 2, Toyama 0, which with 4 to play puts Toyama 6 points outside the top 2 but heading down. Gifu 7 points adrift but playing themselves into form. Elsewhere, it's now 9 unbeaten for YSCC Yokohama after Yuki Stealth's side beat Azul Claro Numazu in front of a best ever crowd for a YSCC home league game. Kei Oshiro set the newly popular hosts on the way with a towering far post header to dispatch a corner kick in the 14th minute. Charles Unduka made it 2-0 just after the half hour when he received a through pass from Ryotaro Yamamoto, turned defender Masayuki Tokutake inside out, and fired in at Ryusuke Otomo's near post. post. Numazu had chances to pull one back through Kazuki Somaya and Noah Kenshin Brown and eventually got on the score sheet in the 57th minute. Takumi Hamas free kick from the right-hand side causing panic in the box. Tomoki Fujisaki getting in a deflected shot that made its way between the legs of keeper Ryosuke Sagawa and over the line. Hammer hit the post with a fierce shot as Azul Claro went for the equaliser, but the home side held on and it ended YSCC 2, Numazu 1. 1,917 people were there to see it. YSCC are up to 7th. Numazu slip into the bottom three. In the goal fest between Gainari Tottori and Fujieda My FC, both sides handed pro debuts to their respective goalkeepers. Koshiro Itohara for Tottori, for whom Ken Tajiri dropped to the bench. Takuma Narahashi for Fujieda, their first choice Takuya Sugimoto missing, presumed injured. Itohara was almost beaten in the 18th minute when MyFC forward Yuki Oshitani thumped a spectacular volley against the bar, and within 5 minutes Oshitani's strike partner Ryota Iwabuchi had broken the deadlock, converting a straightforward chance from 8 yards after the home defence had failed to deal with a set piece. But two quick goals just after the half hour for Tottori's ex-Gamba under 23 and Nagano midfielder Naoya Senoo turned the game around. The equaliser came via a tidy finish after good work down the right wing by Daichi Ishikawa. The same flank also offered a route to goal soon afterwards as Junior Suzuki overlapped to cross in low for the unmarked Senoo to score for 2-1. That was how things stood at half-time, but by the hour mark, Gainari had added two more goals at the expense of Nanahashi and the notably uninterested Fujieda backline. Taiki Anai's pass split the defence for Yuya Taguchi, now the victim of a shocking blonde hairdo, to beat the visitors' new keeper in a one-on-one. And Ishikawa made it 4-1 when he collected a pass from Arai and sent a 25-yard fizzer in off Nanahashi's left-hand post. Regular listeners will know that neither Tottori or Fujieda can reliably be said to have won a game until at least the completion of the post-match bows, and in the 76th minute, MyFC gave themselves a lifeline when their substitute Maya Sako stuck out a boot to turn in Oshitani's cross-come-shot past Itohara. Then, with 6 minutes left, Gainari centre-back Takuya Fujiwara was given a straight red card when he handled on the line in a goalmouth scramble, Oshitani scoring the resulting penalty. But no equaliser was forthcoming and the game ended Tottori 4, Fujieda 3, bringing to an end a run of 4 defeats in a row for Gainari, a first loss in 5 for MyFC. Meanwhile, at FC Imabari, the home side continued to head in the right direction under Kazuaki Hashikawa with a win over Fukushima United. Takafumi Yamada put Imabari ahead in first half stoppage time when he progressed somewhat tentatively towards the Fukushima area, but then unleashed a 25-yard rocket into the top left-hand corner. Seconds after the restart, it was 2-0 after Fukushima centre-back Makoto Kawanishi was adjudged, perhaps unluckily, to have tripped Taisei Takase in the area, Takase himself converting the spot kick. The rest of the action was packed into an exciting last 10 minutes, sparked when the visitors pulled one back through Hiroki Higuchi, glancing in a beautiful header from Hayato Fukushima's cross following good work by lively substitute Kota Mori. And Higuchi almost equalised moments afterwards, but was prevented by Takatora Kondo from getting a clean strike on Tokachi's in-swinging corner. In the 85th minute, Imabari made the points just about safe, the live wire Takase having his cross touched on by Wataru Harada for Hayata Komatsu to score his first goal since joining on loan from Montedio Yamagata, and on his 24th birthday too. Not that that was the end of the scoring, as in injury time, Fukushima found the net again, a mirror image of their first goal, as this time Higuchi crossed for Hayato Fukushima to head in. Final score, Imabari 3, Fukushima 2. Imabari belatedly getting the results their performances this year have often deserved. Fukushima still holding on to 5th spot, but now with a solitary win in 8. Finally, Vanrari Hachinohe and Kagoshima United shared the points in a 1-1 draw at the Pryfood Stadium. Kagoshima's rookie forward Shunsuke Yamamoto had an early goal ruled out for offside, and the home team went in front on 11 minutes when Yosuke Kamigata opened the scoring. Wesley Rodriguez and Osamu Henry Ioha couldn't deal with a long ball into the area from Tepe Chikaishi, leaving Kamigata to slot past Shogo Onishi. 20 minutes later, Kagoshima levelled things up through a Kaito Miyake penalty. One win in 11 now for Hachinohe, although it was good to see Takumi Shimada back in their lineup. He's been absent through injury since July. 3 unbeaten for Kagoshima. The team with a bye in round 26 were AC Nagano Paseiro. So now to run through the top and bottom of the current league standings. Kumamoto remain first with 47 points from 24 games. Then it's Miyazaki with 47 from 25. Iwate with 43 from 24. Toyama, 41 from 24. At the other end of the table, climbing to 12th spot with 23 points from 24 games are Imabari. Then Numazu have 22 from 25, Sanuki 20 from 25, and Tottori 20 from 24. Just time now to take a quick look ahead to the matches coming up in round 27, when all 7 fixtures will be played on Sunday the 14th of November, and it looks set to be an absolute blockbuster with major implications for the promotion battle. It's 1st against 4th, Kumamoto against Toyama, and 2nd against 6th, Miyazaki against Gifu. On balance, for Toyama, a must-not-lose. For Gifu, a must-win if they're to keep alive their hopes of promotion. Third-placed Iwate face a difficult trip to the division's unlikely form team, YSCC. Fukushima are at home to Nagano. Kagoshima host improving Imabari. Fujieda will hope to return to winning ways at home to Hachinohe. And it's third bottom against the division's wooden spooners, Numazu against Tottori. The team with a bye in round 27 are Sanuki. With all the week's business seen to then, that's it for this mini-pod. All that remains is for me to say thanks for listening, enjoy your football, and see you next time. Bye for now.